It's Thursday, September 17th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, show number 800, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our September special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, get up to 3 .coms at $5.99. Use promo code 599GEEK. Hey folks, I got a great show lined up for you. We're going to take a little trip down history lane. We're going to talk about tech as well. But I got a kind of a fun intro for you, some of these little tunes you will have heard. This will take a few minutes, so sit back and just listen to a melody of intros that have happened throughout the years for this show. You and that comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. This podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
From Honolulu, around the tech world, and into your ear, this is Geek News Central. And now, here's Todd.
Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha. From historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii. You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast.
Yes, that is correct. The molecular structure of the atoms within the atmosphere causes... Hello! Hello, do come in. This is the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you from historic Ford Island in Honolulu, Hawaii.
Your attention, please. A new edition of the Geek News Central podcast is online now. Be sure to visit www.geeknewscentral.com to subscribe or pick up the latest show. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 to have your comments heard, or call the host directly on Skype. His Skype call sign is Geek News Central. As always, this is a show you are not going to want to miss. Once again, a new podcast by the geek at Geek News Central. www.geeknewscentral.com is available now. Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand by. The geek from Geek News Central is about to come on the air. He's putting on the headset. He is pulling up the microphone. He has opened a can of Red Bull. He has strapped himself into the chair. His assistant is slapping him in the face. Get ready. And now, your host, Todd the Geek from Geek News Central.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Honolulu. So that was a little fun. I played through a half dozen or so of the intros that we've used over the past 800 shows from time to time. And for those of you that have been here since episode one, you'll probably got a kick out of that. Some of those were pretty bad audio quality, so I apologize. hope I didn't blow your eardrums out too bad. But hey, I want to welcome all of the Ohana, all the longtime listeners of the show. Hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for being with us for 800 episodes. And it would not go without saying that without you being part of this audience, this show wouldn't exist. And I want to thank you for staying subscribed and being part of the Ohana and really supporting the show throughout the years. We're going to walk down memory lane just a little bit tonight. We got a whole bunch of tech to get into as well. So this is definitely going to be a historically probably long show, but 100 episodes is beyond significant. I don't think there's very many podcasters that have been in the space that have done 800 episodes. And we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a few minutes. But for those of you that are joining this show for the very first time, I tell you, you've joined a show where you're going to get an education on exactly where the show has come from and where it's going. And over 800 episodes of me sitting in front of this microphone and others, it's been my pleasure to bring this show to the masses. And I look forward to bringing on 1,000 more shows. That's what we kind of always say here every time we hit a 100 number. I'm kind of really excited about that 1,000 number. So we're still a couple years away from that. But thanks for being here and all of you. Thanks for being part of the family. And of course, the new listeners, thanks for checking the show out. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And if you've got comments on the show, you can tweet me at Geek News. Of course, if you got comments, you can send it over to geeknews@gmail.com. And of course, the voicemail hotline is open 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. I do have some commentary from some folks that called into the show that will play at the end of the podcast tonight. And basically, we'll get into those. But if you're watching this show live, great. Most of you were asleep. If you're listening later, it's good. But don't forget, you can catch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV. And of course, most importantly, it's real easy to get connected by coming over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. And check. Really, that's the place to go to find all the content that's being written. We have a great bevy of writers that are putting up great content on a daily basis. So definitely visit their website. And I'm going to tell you, these writers, we pay the writers at Geek News Central to put articles up. So every time you're at the website, brings in, page counts for us, and that's important. So definitely come over to the website on a daily basis and see what's going on there. And of course, get subscribed to all the shows that are part of the Geek News Central family. You'll find that there in the second column of the website. The Geek News, this show twice a week. Of course, we got Saturday Morning Tech. It's done when I'm in Honolulu on Saturdays. We got the Gadget Professor, Don Bain, brings you that every week. And we've got Robot Underpants done by Langley and a Chrome Show periodically when I get time. And, of course, our special media events when we go to events like Ford and so forth. But definitely, basically hang out on the website. Check the stuff out. Make it part of your daily read. And it is appreciated that you do so. And really, thanks for being here. And really, thanks for being a big part of this family. And we want to thank all of you. And actually, let me see if I can move. Probably not. Let me take that off. Thanks for being here. And of course, the newsletter's out there on the website as well. If you get subscribed to the newsletter, that gets you basically linked up so that every time I send out the show notes, you'll get the full bevy of everything that I've covered. And of course, you can go to gncshownotes.com to find all the extensive links to all the articles that I cover. Of course, we're streaming tonight. Matter of fact, we're back up on Ustream as a secondary stream. We're doing this is our initial shakedown of that. You guys can see over on the monitor here, I've got Wirecast loaded up, and we're actually using that as a secondary streamer, pulling that off the TriCaster. But we're up primarily on Amazon tonight, so that's up and running. But nice to have the mix back up on Ustream. But those of you on Ustream, if you want a ad-free show tonight, come over to live.geeknewscentral.com, and that way you won't have to watch any of the Ustream ads. So I do want to mention a couple of sites. I want to mention we're part of the Tech Podcast Network, 100 plus shows over there, all family safe. So definitely check those shows out as well. So, this is a big show, being show 800, and a lot of things. I tried to think in my brain what I'm going to talk about on every 100th show, and it have a tendency to kind of go over some of the same things. But one thing that I want to say is, you know, every show that I lead off with, you'll hear a modem. And it's basically the old school modems that we used to connect to the internet back in the day. And there's still some people in the world that have to connect that way. And really, it's where my roots were at because, you know, I started online really back in the days when there was, I think my first modem was a 1200 or 600 or 1200 baud modem. Matter of fact, I got it around here as a bookshelf item someplace where it's basically holding some books up. But, you know, that's kind of where I got my roots. And I started with doing bulletin board systems and was a Wildcat BBS operator for many, many years. And then really this thing called the internet took off and we brought the BBS online and the days of that started waning. And really I was kind of for a number of years, there was this kind of this time from when the BBS scene was rolling down until when I found this thing called podcasting took off where I was kind of, you know, there's a number of years there that I wasn't lost, but I didn't have a real home. And I, you know, started the blog that Geek News Central is part of. Chris, I was blogging long before I was doing the show. And, you know, there was a lot of circumstances that happened to really, for the stars aligned, for me to find out about podcasting. But, you know, what it really, where the brass tacks really hit the road is in 2004. In June of 2004, 3 days before my birthday, I was seriously hurt in Bahrain in a swimming pool accident. I spent 13 days in the hospital. Those of you that have been around the show long enough know I call myself a 3%er because the doc said only 3% of the people that sustain the type of injuries that I do still walk. I'm about a half inch shorter because of a crushed L1 vertebrae. And got a bunch of steel in my back, keeping that area stabilized. And knock on wood, things have been, you know, pretty good. I have problems from time to time. But really, that set a course in motion because I was in the Navy at the time. And when I came back to Hawaii and was laid up, you know, the big thing in the back of my mind is if you're not productive for Uncle Sam, if you're not able to produce and do your job, they basically will med board you and get rid of you. And I had flown for 22, 23 years at that point. I was a P3 air crewman. I flew on a variety of different aircraft, primarily not necessarily standard P3 aircraft, but I had a great job. And because of the back injury, I was essentially grounded. So, you know, really kind of looking for a job, I basically decided to, you know, I volunteered to go out and babysit aircraft in Texas. We had some aircraft being modified. And what ended up happening was, you know, I'm wearing this clamshell and I can't really do anything. It's really, you know, it's October. It's hot. It's sticky. I'm feeling nasty. I come back to my hotel room. It was a Hampton Inn right off I-35 and turn up the AC and just kind of veg and sit there with my laptop and surf the internet. And I was following Dave Weiner's website, scripting.com, and I had heard about, he started talking about this thing called podcasting, and him and Adam Curry started doing a show, and it really made me got to thinking. So there was a Walmart directly across the street. I thought, hey, I got a blog. I like to talk. So I went across the street to Walmart, picked up a headset and a couple of shows into it. I was hooked, and many of you were as well. And the audience numbers, you know, kind of started off kind of slow, 300-400, and then boom, you know, within about 90 days we were at 35,000, and it just continued to climb. And you know, here was this blog that I had done for all these years that hadn't reached hardly anybody. I had a very small core audience, and that's where many of you came from that were originally part of the original people that started subscribing to the show. And I'm not a particularly great writer per se. Even today, I have a great a tendency to slaughter the English language, and I have all kinds of Toddisms, and you guys get to laugh at me destroying people's names and so forth. So, you know, doing the show was fun. And, you know, it turned into this obsession per se. And, you know, from the very beginning, though, I think my goal was for you guys to have a good time, learn something, break the tech down into pieces that you guys could digest. And it was, I kind of wanted to make the show digestible to anyone, whether or not you were super technical or not. And that was the end goal. And I think that's always been the goal of the show, is to have the content to be in nice digestible pieces and be able to go out and find stuff that maybe you found, but also could hear my commentary on it, or also something that you haven't heard about, and get you fed a bunch of tech content twice a week. The show's always been long. People have always said, why is the show so long? And it's just the way it has. I think we were 45 minutes to begin with, and it morphed to about an hour 15. That just seemed to be where the number was from the time standpoint. We're going to go beyond that tonight. But really, you know, with the show launch in 2004, and here we are in 2012, and of course, next month will be the 8th year anniversary of the show. We've done 800 shows tonight, and there's been a lot of turmoil. You guys know that on one of our big anniversary shows, my father died. And, you know, you guys were expecting a show 200. Instead of getting show 200, you've got this, you know, this emphatic message from me basically saying, hey, no show, folks. My dad has been killed in an automobile accident, and I'm leaving to go home and bury him. And, you know, literally thousands of emails of sympathy came in from this audience. And it was one of those things that was made me understand right at that very point that this audience really cared and were truly part of the Ohana of this show. And many of you that have been here through that many shows will have remembered that vividly. So, you know, I'm kind of skipping around here tonight, but the main thing to remember is, without this device, without the iPod, and what was accomplished by connecting this media and making it syncable into this device, really has, in my opinion, we have opened up a whole new business. We have been able to do a lot of things because of what happened there. Now, many of you don't know, but back before July of 2005, there had to be third-party software that would do that. iTunes was not podcast ready at the time. iTunes was iTunes, and there were no podcasts in it. So really, to get stuff into the iPod was pretty remarkable at the time, and the hack that was put together and what Dave and Adam did in making the RSS connection and how this really came together. So you guys have been along for the ride, and I keep this very close to me at all times. When I'm doing the show, it's here on the desk. Usually it's setting up on my switcher. It's just a reminder to me that we have some humble beginnings, and where we have basically came from then has been pretty remarkable. So, you know, so the modem brings me to the point where this is where my roots were for technology. The iPod is the connection. This is where we all got off the ground and where this thing really exploded. But, you know, ultimately, when I started this, you know, I had done a lot of ventures before. My wife, we lost, the BBS system was never a moneymaker. And my wife had basically said to me, she says, you know, this is this new thing you're doing, it's got to make some money. And we had laid out a 2-year plan on basically get it to profitability or quit. You know, because I had to have as much time as I was dedicating, had to have a method for this thing to sustain itself. And when the book deal came into effect in December of 2004, when Wiley wrote me an email, Wiley Publishing wrote me an email and said, Todd, we want you to write a book on podcasting. And I replied back, you've got to be beeping me. You want me to write a book on podcasting? And they wrote back, no, we're not beeping you. We want you to write a book. And 90 days later, the book, well, a little over 90, 120 days later, 30 days or so to do the outline and get the contract signed, and then 90 days of writing, and we put the book on the street in May of 2005, and it sold amazing numbers. We were the first to have that book out, Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide. You still find some copies on Amazon at really discount prices. The information in there is beyond dated. But, you know, that set set me up for some bigger things. And it really made me think while I was going through the whole process there, how we're going to get to profitability and how we're going to get this show moving forward. And, you know, GoDaddy comes into this picture actually before this, because we were having huge, huge challenges in staying ahead of the bandwidth curve. The show was growing so fast. I would publish one or two shows on a shared hosting account, burn the bandwidth on it. A couple days later, I'd burn the bandwidth on a couple of other shows, a couple other servers, and we would move the media where it was hosting to, you know, between six or seven servers because we'd burn the bandwidth. Well, the site was getting a lot of traffic, so I went from a shared hosting account to a virtual dedicated server, and that was a worst move that I ever made, and I thought I could serve the show from it, and blah, blah, blah. Long story short, me and GoDaddy, we went cuff toe to cuff there for a little bit. I was not a happy camper, and the CEO of the time, Don Parsons, stepped in and said, "Hey, what's your issue? Let's get it fixed. Here's what you really need to be on." And they really made it right back. This was before they were sponsor of the show and got me on a dedicated server. And, you know, that's where we've been ever since and had no issues. And the bandwidth thing kind of worked itself out as different companies came online supporting it. So I had learned from the very beginning that GoDaddy was listening to their customers. And that's where the relationship started in July of 2005. A gal by the name of Chris Redlinger emailed me. She says, "Todd, we want to advertise on your show." And that was history. From there, you know, GoDaddy has been a sponsor of this show since July of 2005. Now, you think about that. They've been here every month. Every show for 700 and some shows, they've been a sponsor of it. They've been the headline sponsor. We have talked about them extensively, brought deals to you. And I wrote a post about it this weekend on Geek News Central where, you know, this show's presence is largely due to GoDaddy. And some have criticized me in the past for being never giving a GoDaddy any crap. And, we've had some history here and we've talked about issues that they've had and took them to task when we needed to. But all of this would not have been possible without sponsors like GoDaddy and the gear and the innovative things that we've done would not. So that's why when I tell you guys, they keep the lights on, they literally do. And they are responsible for keeping food on my family's table. And so, of course, the other sponsors are right there playing around as well. They're not always on the show. Right now, we're just running a single sponsor right now. And you guys know the story of how they became a sponsor. And what really made me this thing click was when Chris said, "Okay, we're advertising on your show. We're doing great. Do you know some other podcasters that want to have GoDaddy as their sponsor?" And I'm like, man, I could be the go-between, the broker, and we can, you know, I could take a little cut and make this happen. And that is where this whole business aspect of this thing came in and what really started to move forward. So really, they're kind of responsible for two stages. And kind of going back to the history of the show, you know, we launched Tech Podcast Network in 2004. It was kind of a, you know, we were trying to build a network. August of 2005, Citrix came online, GoToMeeting came online as a sponsor. You know, I launched Raw Voice in 2005. We did the podcast, started the podcast awards in 2005. You know, we launched the podcast, Podcaster News. We launched Blueberry, ProMed, Travelcast. You know, you look at the sites that we've launched and you look at, you know, here's Raw Voice. So, you know, Raw Voice is, let me take this down. Raw Voice is, you know, the company that I do all of my business through, not for this show, but for working with podcasters. And Raw Voice now owns Tech Podcast. We bought that out a few years after I started it with the folks, the 12 or 13 shows that we initially started, got a stake in Raw Voice. And then we launched blueberry.com, and that's where we've got nearly, I think, 13,000 shows over there. And we've launched the ProMed Network and Travelcast. So all those sites had a humble beginning because, number one, and you look at the Podcast Awards website, the only reason this site exists is because I had enough bankroll to have a programmer build the code to make this thing work, to do what it does and, you know, survive, you know, the millions of hits it's going to start getting on October 1st again. This, the base code is still pretty much the same from when we built this in 2005. The company over at One Technologies and Tim Morris, my partner over there, who, well, basically he's not my partner, but he's the guy that built this site. You know, he's the one that's responsible to make sure this thing runs. And, you know, so all that stuff, you know, the seed money that I used to get Raw Voice started. And of course, the other team members brought in seed money too, but would not have been possible. And what the end result was, is because of the sponsor money, we were able to do a lot of stuff. And in my whole core, ever since starting the show, my core is to, you know, when I was growing up, I grew up in the country and I was a farm boy. And I had animals and livestock, and I was doing the 4-H and FFA thing. And then I joined the Navy and got this, you know, electronics background and left that behind. But there was always, and my dad was a contractor, and this whole work ethic was, you're going to commit to do something, you do her. And, you know, if you figure out, you know, where we're at, there's 52 weeks in a year. We've been doing this nearly 8 years. So if you just figure 8 years, that would be 800, excuse me, if I was to do one show a week, that would be 416 shows, or two shows a week times, it's basically 8 years times 52 is 416. Multiply that again, that's 832. So out of 832 shows, I've delivered 800. So what it really boils down to, if you take those 32 shows that I've missed somewhere along the way and divide that by 8, on average, I've only missed 4 shows a year. If you think about it, Christmas, a couple of shows in and around CES, and maybe one other. So, you know, there's been an, you know, kind of a, you know, maybe 4 or 5, and then 1 year don't miss as many. So been here for you the whole time. And, creating the content and putting it out and putting the time in. And if you really look at the progress of the show and where we've been, you know, I look in at the comments. There's been 11,267 comments emailed to the show. We've had over 188 million downloads of the podcast, near as I can figure. I just did a rough, I did a swag at it. There's 585 gigs of just audio sitting out online. And, you know, that doesn't seem like a lot, but when you're doing it at 60 or 70 megs at a time. And, you know, you look at the studio now, you know, I've got multiple cameras in here, and, you know, I've got the capability of bringing in guests. I've got live streaming, all this stuff that we've done. You know, I probably have invested $100,000 in the studio over 8 years. And, you know, so it may not look like it, but it is one of these things that over time adds up. And, you know, so I've invested in the show and made sure that we continue to move forward. And it's about going back to, you know, this being show 800, you know, there's very few shows that reach this level. And I don't want to brag. So don't take this the wrong way. I've done my part. Okay. I'm bringing you the show. I'm bringing you the content. You guys are subscribed. I'd love to have you guys now move into the next, let's move the show to the next level. And that's where I want you guys to really consider becoming insiders. You guys know I'm here for you. You know I do the show. I bring the show to you consistently. You know, I've invested in the show. We do the time. So, you know, I'm just pitching you guys to really consider becoming an insider. And you can find details out at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Now, we launched the Insider Forum this week. Just a matter of fact, I think yesterday I launched the Insider Forum. I've got the badge we're going to be giving out to all the insiders. That's going to be going out via email probably later tonight. And something else I'm going to think about doing is designing what's called a challenge coin. And in the military, everyone carries a challenge coin. If you're in a bar without it and someone slaps it down, you don't have yours, you're buying a round of drink. But I think it'd be kind of cool, based on my previous heritage of doing 24 years in the Navy, to create a challenge coin for the show. And the only people that get them are insiders. And we'll come up with a cool design and have this thing made. And then only insiders, and we'll set some criteria out on how that's going to work. I think we're going to add a challenge coin, or basically a GNC coin, to the mix of what you'll get for being an insider. As near as I can figure it, if you've been listening since episode one, you've had to listen to me talk for about 41 days, which is pretty crazy. And considering the amount of work I do this show, I figure I've got about 4,800 hours invested in creating the 800 episodes you see here. That's not including the, you know, probably the, where are we at now? Maybe 2,500 CES interviews, all that stuff. But, you know, so there is quite a history to the show. And it's something that, you know, we built like the CES coverage to start off with Andy McCaskey and I. Of course, Andy's the prior host of SDR News. And I guess, you know, Andy's trying to get that off the ground again. You know, after doing six shows a week, you know, he basically got fried. So he's going to start doing this again. But Andy and I went to CES with just kind of a couple of microphones and did interviews. And it was cool. But we've grown that from last year. We had 23 people on the floor at CES. You know, the show's now on Roku, it's on Boxy, it's on Samsung, it's on Google TV. You know, all the stuff that we built. And, you know, the most important thing, I think the thing I'm proud of the most, and it's nothing to do with this show, it's what we did, is we have literally put tens of millions of dollars back into podcasters' pockets through sponsorships of companies that have come in and are sponsoring shows, and we're able to basically facilitate that. And it's nothing rewards me more than having send our accounting person a spreadsheet where there's $115,000 or $150,000 worth of payments that are going out to podcasters. You know, when you see those kinds of numbers going out to the thousands of shows that we work with, it's pretty exciting stuff. It really is. When you know a guy is working his regular job, his regular day job, he's doing a show on the side, and I send the guy a check for $5,000. That is just incredible. You know, that really makes us just proud of what we've done. And I think that's the thing I'm probably the most proud of, is we able to get these podcasters paid. Now, not everyone doesn't. There's different levels. You know, the top guys get X amount in the smaller shows, but we've never discriminated. We've always treated everyone equally. And some guys, you know, they may only make enough to make their, you know, their hosting payment or take the wife out to dinner. But, you know, besides this show and what I do on a day-to-day basis to keep the ball rolling and keep my employees employed and keep the salaries going and everything else, and we never did VC money. We build it from scratch, and we're still here, and I'm still here. And I'm excited where the show's going to head. I feel like it's just, and it's hard to believe it's 8 years. I was telling my wife in the car today, I'm like, it's 800 shows. And she just kind of looks at me like, that many, you know, and they've sacrificed huge, you know, every Monday and Thursday night, this show is recorded and that's built into our schedule. And there's nothing that's going to interrupt that schedule. And, you know, I've taken a lot of time here tonight to talk about where the show has came from, and hopefully you guys are going to help determine where it goes from here. And it's been absolutely my pleasure to bring you this show and to be able to talk tech and have fun and laugh at myself for doing stupid things on the mic. Now, we brought audio into the mix. Some of you didn't like it, I talk to the camera and I got to remember I'm talking to many of you through your headsets as well. I have to really make sure that I remember that core, because the audio audience is still 90% of you. You know, 90% of you listen. You only 10% of you watch, or whatever. I don't, whatever the number is now, I don't know. But that is the, you know, the main thing. You guys are on the treadmills. You're on your cars. You're in a bus. You're, you know, we've had people listen in Antarctica. We've had people listen to the show climbing a mountain. It's you know, everywhere that you can imagine, that, you know, and it excites me because we're in almost every country in the world that has someone listening to this show. And that just warms my heart. It really does. It's very humbling. And if nothing else, we're hitting show 800. Thanks for being here. And thanks for being again, part of the family. And if you've been here since show one, you know, brother, sister, I don't know how you've listened for 800 shows. It's hard to listen to anyone talk for 41.6 days. So I hope I've kept it entertaining. And I know there's a handful of people that have been here since show one. A lot of you have been here for 500, 600, 700 shows. I know that for sure. And just because I see them coming in emails, I get little notes saying, don't read this on the air, but here's a comment. And, you know, our super fans, you know, you guys here are folks that are, you know, basically always sending contributions into the show. It's greatly appreciated. So let me move sideways here, or I'm going to start getting too much chitter chatter already. But let's make sure we get the bills paid and definitely save some money this month. All right. GoDaddy.com. What can I say? We've got a special deal. $5.99 domains. You get three of them. So you get basically $6 is what it's going to cost you for each domain. You can get up to three. Then once you've used those three, you can go ahead and use my other codes. This one, you got to use 599 geek. And after that, then you can basically use my other codes, ComSale, ComSale 3, all the other codes to save money on the .coms and .com renewals. Someone said they renewed some .coms with that 599 geek code. So I'm kind of surprised that that actually worked. But we won't say anything. But I do have some news that we may be getting a intro from someone. So we'll look forward to seeing how that's going to go. I've got something cool that's coming from potentially from GoDaddy in the future. Oh, by the way, I am packed. I have a passport, I have an international driver's license, and I'm leaving tomorrow. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to give you one hint somewhere later in the show, and maybe you can figure out where I'm going. But after that, you won't know until the next show is live, and I might not be able to do it at my normal time, all depending on what time zone I'm in, east, west, south, or north. But there'll be two shows from a yet to be undisclosed location at the end. Well, later in the show, I'm going to give you a hint on where I'm headed. So you'll be able to anticipate that. All right. So, hey, thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor here, of course. And you see all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And again, make sure you get over to the website at geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content and get subscribed to the show. It's greatly appreciated. All right. So let's go ahead here. And yes, I do have tech to talk about tonight, but, I don't know what else to say about the 800th anniversary or 800th episode, 800th anniversary, 800th episode of the show, except to say, it's been an amazing ride and, let's see where it goes from here. And, thanks for being here. Those of you that are staying up late on the stream, hey, thanks for being up late. I know there was a couple of folks in here that bounced out, but Spitballs, you're always in late. HQ Radio, thanks for coming in. You guys are always always up late. How's the stream tonight? Audio good? Everything looks good? If you get a chance, pop over on the Ustream stream and see how that looks. I'm a little bit nervous about that one because I guess we're staying up on the frame rate. I had it cranked back tonight to make sure it would work, but the ads over there just driving me nuts. They really are. All right, so let me go ahead and we'll minimize this and I'll minimize that and we'll bounce this up so I can actually see it. And I don't need that. So, hey, I want to give Doug K, a good friend of mine, basically a shout out here on the show. Doug announced today that the Conversation Network mission accomplished. I don't know if you guys knew about the Conversation Network or not. Doug is the guy that introduced IT Conversations, and he was basically one of the very first podcasts, I guess. And we've had some fans from IT Conversations, that group that have supported the show, over the years and give me tips on audio quality when some of the audio quality sucked. And, you know, so Paul, you're out there. Thanks so much for your support in the early years. I don't know if you're still listening or not, but Doug basically announced today that the Conversation Network is going to be going down. And he's turning it over to the Internet Archive. And they're hoping to preserve all the existing URLs and so forth. But, you know, job well done, Doug, on this. And I know that you've had a lot of support. Variety of companies have supported you in the past. A lot of podcasters use one of his applications called the Levelator. And, of course, SpokenWord.org is one of these websites. And Limelight has helped them in the past. So, anyway, they're going to be pulling the plug here at the end of the year. And but thanks, Doug, for all your support in the community and all the volunteers that really helped build that site out. So I know that probably was a hard decision to make that happen, but I guess it was time. And don't know the full, you know, they just said it was time to call it quits. So, but anyway, good luck to Doug. And Doug's a great guy, and I know he's a fantastic photographer as well. And so if you get a chance, look him up on Twitter or up on Facebook and following. So the first article I want to talk about tonight, get a couple right off the bat here from Geek News Central. One that was written by Alan. And, of course, Alan is one of our writers that is outside of the United States. But he talks about, and of course, he's been writing a lot of the Android stuff lately. So someone sent me an email, Todd, why am I bashing on the iPhone so much? And I'm like, hey, it's my writers who are doing it. I'm not necessarily bashing on the iPhone. But new universal root for Android ICS Jelly Bean devices. So it has been rooted. And that's good news for those of you that like to essentially run a jailbroke phone. You can do so. And the link is up in the show. We'll be up in the show notes for that. So thanks for Alan for putting that together. And I got a different laptop over here tonight, and it keeps going to sleep. Someone said in the chat room that the Ustream ads are loud and annoying. Well, sorry. It's just the way it is. Can you believe that Ustream is now asking people to pay, listeners to pay, like $4 a month and not have any ads? I thought to myself, if people are going to pay $4 a month to have no ads on Ustream, you know, $2 a month supporting the show is a pretty good deal. I just thought it was pretty incredulous that they would ask viewers to pay to not have ads served to them. All right, there's a great article written up by Jen, and she wrote up about Whisper Sync for voices saves your place. And this is when you're using Audible. And so, you know, people that love to read will take the opportunity to squeeze another chapter or a few more changes any chance they get. And today, many people are reading books on the Kindle or other devices or listening to the audio version of a book they got from Audible. So Whisper Sync for voice is something new that connects those two options in a unique and time-saving way. So you definitely want to check this out. And basically, it's going to sync up your audiobook with your ebooks. So you can put one device down and pick up the other one. So this is pretty cool. So the book's going to continue reading to you, or you can stop and you can visually read. And you can start by purchasing an ebook for your Kindle. And then there'll be a button that allows you to add narration for a few dollars more. Making that purchase is what enables your Kindle and Audible app to sync up with each other. There are about 15,000 books at audible.com that will work with Whisper Sync for voice right now. So she's got an article and links up there in the show notes. This is a pretty cool dealio. So definitely check it out. And Jen, this is a good catch by you. Thanks for getting that. All right. One thing that I had told Barry takes care of all of our phone bills. All of our team members at Raw Voice have an iPhone. And Barry is living in an area where the AT&T signal is like crap. So he says Verizon works good in the neighborhood. And I says, well, let's call Verizon and see what... Whoa. That's what I get for putting the phone over here too close. So he's going to call Verizon and find out, you know, what the options are for us as a business owner. and to get the iPhone 5. So what other people are finding out is AT&T is basically saying, hey, you want a new phone, here's what you got to pay. So a lot of folks are finding out that it's just going to be cheaper to switch to Verizon. They're going to save about $180 to switch. So, you know, your loyalty to stay with AT&T and versus Verizon, especially if you're out of contract, is, you know, that's $180. It goes a long ways in one person's pocket. So how many of you are willing to make that switch from AT&T to Verizon to save that $180? Or you're loyal enough to AT&T that you're going to stay there. So this is, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense. If I was AT&T and I knew someone was going to leave, they're probably counting on people not. Probably a majority of people won't. But for $180, that's pretty incredible. But he says that this guy's going to cancel, that wrote this article over at bullishcross.com, says that he's going to cancel his family plan and move to another carrier. And it's just going to cost him, it's going to save him a bunch of money. So, because he's out of contract. So, I have a link up in the show notes. But if you're considering upgrading the iPhone 5 and Apple's telling you, give me a big bunch of money to do so, definitely there's some thoughts there from him on maybe a way to proceed to save yourself some money by switching to Verizon. Hey, Ford has announced that it's basically bringing your own navigation with a new smartphone app. Ford is joining Chevy in offering a smartphone-based navigation app that integrates with its connected car platform. Telenav's new Scout for Sync app link doesn't have all of the features of a full-bore nav system, but it could fundamentally change the in-vehicle mapping game, especially if you don't have a vehicle that's really all that smart or new. This app basically will give you a lot of the features that you would have if you had an in-dashboard system. Now, if you can Bluetooth sync to it, it'll talk to you over your car speakerphone, so you don't have to just listen to the phone. But this is a pretty slick little app and a smart move by Ford. You know, they're all about making it to, you know, getting that digital technology into your vehicles. And this is an expensive way to make this happen. So, you know, GM's tried to do the same thing. And I think that for the most part, Ford is probably pretty much still ahead from an endpoint in their vehicles, much farther ahead than GM has been. But I'm sure the GM is going to be working real hard to catch up based on, you know, everything we've been seeing and some stuff we saw at CES last year as well. Hey, let's go ahead and switch gears here. How did Google get 100 million active users? Well, there's a post that they made, or actually Guntora said today on his Google Plus page, that while Google Plus is all about creating a better experience across Google, it's also a destination. And here too, I'm happy to report that we've just crossed 100 million monthly active users on Google Plus. Now, if you look at what they've done, we know that Google has unified its messaging products. So this happened at the end of July. So basically, Google Talk Video is basically now Hangouts. You know, that upgrade was rolled out gradually, but most users now, when they launch a Google Talk, they're really launching a Hangout. And some of those got pulled in, along with some of their other services, where they've kind of shoehorned people into Google Plus. So it'll be kind of curious to see if the numbers ever come out on where that really divide is. I still find Google Plus to be a great place to have better conversations than I would find doing so on Facebook. They're just more, you know, you still see a fair amount of cat pictures and stuff, but that's both on Facebook and on Google Plus. But I do, in circles that I have really kind of narrow defined, I do find great conversations and comment threads. So today, you guys know that I flew back from Dallas. I flew back from Austin on Saturday, and I just been 100% getting ready to get out of here to go to my new location. So I've been like not much sleep. So if I'm trailing off on you guys a little bit here, I apologize. I don't mean to do it, but burning candle at both ends to make sure that business needs were met, family needs were met, wife needs were met, kids needs were met, personal, you know, just, it's been a little bit bizarre. So I don't recommend doing back-to-back trips where only you have 2 days at home and a big show and everything else going on to do. So I'm keeping you guys entertained here. Hey, on PopSci at PopSci.com, there's some pretty cool stuff going to be happening to the International Space Station. There's an ambitious effort to broadcast real-time streaming video of Earth from space, and this is pretty close to reality after a new influx of cash and some new partnerships. They're saying by spring of 2013, everyone on Earth will be able to watch the planet from the International Space Station. There's a Canadian startup called Uthercast, pronounced Earthcast. Okay, U-R-T-H-E, Earth. Okay, it's spelled with a U, but they pronounce it Earthcast. And they're going to be sending some cameras up that are going to be mounted by the astronauts. One is fixed, and one will be able to swivel and point around. And they got the downlinks all set up and all that stuff. But they say it's going to have about the resolution. Now, check this out. About the resolution of Google Earth. So that is going to prove to be interesting. Now, you know, it's going to be moving pretty fast. So I don't know how they're going to deal with this. I'm sure you're going to have to play stuff back and, you know, do replays. But you're going to be able to see the great details in your garden. And users anywhere in the world will be able to log in and see real time or maybe very short delay video. And so if you want to watch when the International Space Station goes over you, go out in the yard and wave. And you could get a wedding picture from space or something like that. But these cameras are specific purpose of basically live streaming. And they've got other cameras on the International Space Station to be used for monitoring crops. Now, who wants to watch corn grow? Well, NASA does. But these new cameras will be specifically for a lot more kind of fun stuff. So I'm excited to see what they're going to be doing with that. And it'll be really cool. And I'm sure many of us will tune in and probably leave that running way too longer than we should. All right. Wouldn't be a show without a chance to talk about the RIAA and the music industry. You know, that's kind of been a topic here that has been a mainstay of the show since the beginning. BMG is demanding $20 for pirated Bruno Mars or Eminem downloads. So with a so-called six strike scheme just around the corner here in the United States, there is going to be, quote unquote, potential emails being sent out to subscribers via their ISP account holders asking for a settlement. Now, if you infringe, you're going to get an email that says like this: Dear sir or madam, your ISP has forwarded you this notice. This is not spam. Your ISP has account been used to download, upload, or offer upload copyrighted content in a manner that infringes on the right of the copyright owner. Your ISP service could be suspended if this matter is not resolved. You could be held liable for up to $150,000 per infringement in civil penalties. The file Bruno Mars feat. Emian the file Bruno Mars feat. Emian and Royce .59 lighter MP3 was infringed upon by a computer at your IP address on such and such date. We represent the copyright owner. This is a notice of an offer of settlement. If you click on the link below and log on to RightCorp's automated settlement system for $20 per infringement, you'll receive a legal release from the copyright owner. So basically what they're going to do with the six strike laws, they're going to send you a doggone email. It's going to say pay up. Did the ISPs agree to deliver settlement letters in the six strike plan? This is ridiculous. I didn't realize that they were going to be allowed to do this in sending you a settlement letter. Remember, they've already sent you a warning. But because they flagged your account, you're also going to get probably a settlement letter from companies like BMG. It says pay up. So instead of spending $150,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 to settle, you're going to have to pay $20 per instance, at least from BMG. And they're going to release you. They're not going to say we're not going to sue you anymore. And you're basically going to be released. And this is incredible. This really, really is. So BMG acknowledges that many cases a subscriber will not be involved in any unlawful downloading, will not even have any knowledge of it. This is crazy. So they say that some people may be charged guilty when they are actually innocent. Says the subscriber is the only person liable for copyright infringement. So if your kids do something, you may be paying $20 a track for it. This is just insane. So I have a link on the show notes for you. I'm sure you'll want to read through this whole thing. And a little bit of an eye-opener. Also, I saw something today that I wasn't aware of, but I got to share this with you guys. And those of you that are listening, have you heard about these folks that are branding themselves with the advertisements on their face? Some people are actually being paid to truly tattoo their face with a domain.com. You know, I'll be honest with you. I would not want this show's domain tattooed on anyone, let alone someone's face. This is crazy. I mean, absolutely insane, but some people do it. They pay to be tattooed with someone's .com on their body, and it's just basically a walking billboard. And here's a picture of a gal that had her forehead tattooed right in the middle of her head, goldenpalace.com. You got to be desperate for money to do that. What would drive someone to tattoo themselves with a domain on their body, especially on your face? This one guy's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. He says he's raised $200,000. I guess in for a dollar, in for a pound, right? When you've done one, you might as well just go ahead and work it up and do the rest. But he says when domains have went, that scares you guys, doesn't it? When domains go belly up, or when companies go belly up, he just covers it up with a different advertisement. So pretty crazy. Pretty crazy indeed. But I just saw that and I just freaked out. Hey, Russia's reporting that they are awash in diamonds. They are announcing today that trillions, yes, trillions of carats lie below a 35-million-year-old, 62-mile diameter asteroid crater in eastern Siberia known as Popagai Astrobomb. The Russians known about this since 1970s, but they've kept it quiet, a state secret. But now they're talking about it, and basically these are all industrial diamonds, and it's probably going to turn the world on its head for diamond pricing. And they say they have enough diamonds to last the world 3,000 years. So I'm sure that's going to cause a little dip in the diamond price once they start producing out of there. All right, good article here. Are SSDs finally worth the money? There's an article over on Slashdot that says the price of a 2.5-inch solid-state drive dropped by three times in 3 years, making the most popular models less than $1 per gig or about 74 cents a gig. Hybrid drives, which include a small amount of NAND flash cache along a spinning disk, in contrast, have reached prices with near parity that hover around 23 cents per gig, while HDDs cannot compare to SSDs in terms of basically speed. It's debatable whether they offer performance increase in a laptop significant enough to justify paying three times. I think they do. I think it makes a laptop a lot faster, but prices have come down. Have you put an SSD drive in your laptop or in a desktop? I'd love to hear back from you if you have geeknews@gmail.com. Great article over on Tech Dirt talking about patent trolls causing serious problems for startups. And I tell you, it makes you want to break out in a cold sweat to think about these patent trolls coming to your site, looking it over and saying, oh, they're infringing here, and taking you to court. You know, small businesses, it could bankrupt you. And the impact is huge on smaller companies. The respondents to this survey had a significant operational impact, where 13 companies were hit with that only had revenues up to $100,000 per year, had a 62% impact. 100K to 1 point million, there was 20 companies had a 55% operational impact. $1 to $10 million in revenue was 20 companies with a 40% impact. And then if it goes up to companies that had 100 million to 1 billion, while they had infringement cases, there was 0% operational impact. So it really impacted the smaller companies a lot. Because these companies couldn't fight, they just settle. Yeah, you know, one company says we wasted $50,000 of hard-earned money on litigation, and basically they lost. And it was just basically a patent troll that came in after them. And that is just, it makes you think, you know, you get a lawsuit, you just fold up, write them a check, right? Because of the amount of money you have to fight them. And it's got to be disheartening. So you know, the patent business is hurting small businesses, and this is a pretty good proof of it in a pretty extensive study that was done. So I have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Hey, you know, thank goodness that you live in a country where you can walk around with a camera on your phone. But a Syrian activist was arrested by secret police merely for having a live streaming app installed on his phone. And so they're not happy right now about people having streaming apps. And the live streaming app Bambuser has become one of the most popular and potent weapons for activists to deploy against heavy-handed policing. And they were allowed them to fight back in a nonviolent way. And now when the people are getting rolled up, they're looking at their phones, and if they're finding this Bambuser on there, they are, it's not a good thing. So just to show you that, you know, recording video is cool, but when you're in one of these countries that have a tendency to shoot people on demand, probably not a good idea to have one of these apps loaded. It's just, but it is, I guess, the price these folks are trying to pay for a different lifestyle. And, you know, what's going on over there is just crazy. What's going on in the Middle East right now is just insane for sure. But, it's just more evidence here that, you know, the weapons of choice these days, social media and, cameras and so forth are being effective, but the folks that are being caught with them are paying a heavy price. Now check this one out. This one here would really make you mad. A university is requiring students to pay $180 for art history. It's only text that has no photos due to copyright problems. This is nuts. So a student at OCAD University in Canada is taking a class on global visual and material culture, prehistory to 1800s, which is a textbook that is required for all students. This textbook cost 180 bucks. Now, we all know that textbook prices are insane these days, but again, this is where it gets totally crazy. This is an art textbook that has no images. This is an art textbook that has no images. This is a sham. And the students in class are filing a petition to protest this as well. This is incredible. Going to college, you're taking a visual and material culture class, and you can't even use a book effective because they've removed all the pictures because the pictures couldn't clear copyright. Just nuts. It shows you how broke the system is. All right, I want to talk about the royal family for just a second. You know, there's with the wedding that they had and everything else was, you know, followed by millions around the world. And, you know, they are the subject of paparazzi. So what happened on September 13th? There was pictures taken of Kate Middleton, and they were published online. It was a topless photo. That happened at September 13th at around 2000. The number of people that were following that was very, very small. There was a little peak, just under 100 tweets. Well, what happened on September 14th was, now, is this in thousands or is this in Yeah. So the number of tweets that happened as soon as the royal family threatened legal action was about 800. And I'm sure there was more than that. I don't know if this is there's a multiplier on this chart or not. But here's the deal. This probably would have went largely unnoticed had not the royal family threatened legal action, because traffic on this has stayed huge ever since. And of course, more stories are publishing them now and everything else. But it just goes to show you where threatening someone with legal action can probably have a negative effect. And these may have, you know, this may have just kind of toppled, basically kind of went largely unnoticed for a number of days if it hadn't been really highly publicized. But again, it may not have. But as soon as the royal family threatened legal action, it just went viral, of course. And it's still news today. And it's too bad, really, these paparazzi guys, they stand off several miles with a big, long telephoto lens and snap a picture. And, you know, it's almost like it's these days you can't do anything without being recorded one way or the other. All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit here about what's going on in space. A Japanese supply ship has undocked from the International Space Station and it's re-entered and burned up in and re-entry. So that was good news to get some garbage out of there. Today, the folks at Masten, a test vehicle built by commercial suborbital vehicle developer Masten Space System, crashed during a test flight in California. The vehicle took off vertically from Masten's test site at the Mojave Air and Spaceport, climbed to an altitude of 1 kilometer, and then the vehicle experienced problems during its power descent, causing it to crash. The company said in a statement that the problem was likely caused by the failure of a throttle valve in the vehicle's engine. So they're basically developing a vertical takeoff and landing suborbital vehicle. So this sets them back a little bit. So we'll see where they go from there. All right, switching back here to tech news. And let me get a shot of water here. Microsoft has announced today that it's pushing software subscriptions on home users. And what this is boiling down to is that Office 2013 is going to be, for most users, a fairly minor evolution of the product. But what they're trying to do is they've been courting enterprise users with its Office 365 platform for a little over a year. But now they've unveiled two non-enterprise plans, $99 per year. There's an Office 365 Home Premium, giving you Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, Outlook, Publisher, and Access, plus an extra 20 gigs of SkyDrive storage in addition to the 7 gigs you get for free, plus 60 minutes of Skype calls per month. This is licensed on a per-household basis, and one account can be shared with up to 5 users across any mixture of 5 PCs and Macs. The other new subscription is $149 per year, Office 365 Small Business Premium. This adds Link and InfoPath into the software mix, but changes the cloud service. Instead of SkyDrive and Skype, Small Business Premium users will get 25 gig mailbox, shared calendaring, 10 gigs of shared storage, and another 500 megs of storage per user. This is a license per user, but that user can install on any combination of PC, Macs, again, up to a total of 5 systems. So they want you to pay beyond what you're paying already to use it. I'm not going for this, to be honest with you. I'm going to have the software and I'm going to store stuff on my hard drive, and then it's going to get backed up to my Windows Home server, and it'll go up to Carbonite and it'll be there in the cloud, just where it needs to be for in case something happens. So, you know, the question has to be asked, is there value in these subscriptions? And, you know, subscription software of one form or another has proven popular in the enterprise. But I don't know if households in particular are willing to shell out $99 a month for this. You know, you think about, you know, I'm running Office 2013 or something here. How often do you upgrade? And you're essentially paying for a new version of software every year by paying $99. I don't think, to me, that would get awful expensive. While it would fit my family, you know, I don't know. Does that work for you guys? Love to hear your feedback. geeknews@gmail.com. You can tweet me at Geek News, or you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. Two men are admitting to $10 million hacking spree on Subway sandwich shops. Two Romanian men have basically been participating in a conspiracy. They hacked into credit card payment terminals at more than 150 Subway restaurants, stole data for more than 146,000 accounts, spanned from 2009 to 2011, and racked up more than $10 million in losses. So I wonder if they've informed all the cardholders. I've ate at Subway quite a bit, and I don't remember ever being informed. Maybe it wasn't any of the storms I was. Hey, so moving to back to the iPhone for a second. Are you buying an iPhone 5? Are you? Tell me why. Love to hear why you're buying it, what you think's cool about it. Moving forward with moving to the iPhone 5. So what do you guys like about it the most? Did you go with AT&T? Did you go with Verizon? Did you go with Sprint? Are you upgrading from a previous iPhone? Are you on a BlackBerry now or a Windows phone? Or where are you at? And are you going to wait in line or did you pre-order one? What did you do? Why did you order the iPhone 5? Just because you could? Love to hear from you, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, another article on ours talking about Curiosity rolls on as instrument checkout continues. Some pretty cool pictures here of the Curiosity rover, some stuff you haven't seen before. I'll have that up in the show notes for you as well. And of course, they also got a partial eclipse recorded, which was pretty cool. So I have that up as well. But Curiosity is doing some cool stuff on Mars. And the checkout of the rover continues. They seem to be doing very well, and the rover seems to be very healthy. Hey, if you use Internet Explorer, there's a critical zero-day bug. It's under active attack right now, so be aware of that. I'll have a link up in the show notes. You can read this. This is a nasty one. So if you're up on IE9 or even IE8 or 7, you are going to be affected by this bug. So be careful where you're surfing. This is a zero-day bug that will basically own your machine. If you land on a page, it's infected. Now, this next topic, there's these studies that are done all the time. The government does all these paid studies. And I don't know who paid for this one, but after reviewing data from 1,839 14 to 17-year-old high school students in Los Angeles, now, again, they had to do a study to figure this out. Sexting and the other term go hand in hand. So in other words, those that are 14 to 17 who are sexting are also basically doing the dirty. Why is that a surprise? So among the researchers' findings, more than half the teens said they knew someone who had sexted, and 15% of teens with access to a cell phone say they themselves had sexted. Those who reported sexting were 7 times more likely to be sexually active. Nearly 87% of 1,800 students identified as heterosexual, with the remainder reporting as being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, or unsure. About 20% of the teens said that they are white or African-American, with the rest identified as Latino or Hispanic. So the researcher said that they found a few discrepancies in the data between heterosexual and non-heterosexual teens, namely that the non-heterosexual teens were almost 3 times as likely to have sexted, 1.5 times more likely to be sexually active, nearly twice as likely to have not used protection. So talk to your kids. This sexting thing is a little bit out of control still. So half phone, half camera, they will do what they do being teenagers. But those type of pictures out in the wild are not good. All right, iPhone 5 record pre-orders, and there's already people sitting in line. They are already in line for the iPhone 5. Do they have a life? Do they have a job? Are they being paid to stand in line? This is just ridiculous. They're in line now? Good luck. Oh my gosh, go get a job so you can afford to pre-order. I don't get it. I guess you can. It's a sport of doing it, I guess, right? All right. FCC says cable operators can buy local phone carriers. Yes, you heard that. The FCC's relaxed rules against acquisition contained in the 1996 Telecom Act at the request of cable operators. The U.S. Federal Communication Commission has waived restrictions that are preventing cable operators from acquiring local telephone carriers, saying those mergers could lead to stronger competition to larger telecom carriers for business customers. You have got to be kidding me. The 96th Act, as the law is called, attempted to preserve competition between cable providers and telecom carriers. But by relaxing the rules for cable firms, acquire some local telecom carriers called competitive local exchange carriers, or CLECs, could create competition for the dormant incumbent carriers other than ILECs. This is just incredible. So next thing you know, cable, Time Warner, they're going to be buying the local telecoms. We got one here in Hawaii in big trouble. So, wow. Monopoly. Now, last, another article here on space.com. Warp drive. Yes, you hear me said warp drive may be more feasible than thought, scientists are saying. You know, this is the dream of Trekkies all around the world, to hope that we would have a warp drive of our very own. But apparently warp drive to achieve faster than light travel, a concept popularized by Star Trek, may not be as unrealistic as once thought. Yes, they're actually thinking it may be possible. Man, would that be the shiznez or what? So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. This is over at space.com. Hey, Google's bought photo editor called Snapseed. So this is basically Google and Facebook rivalries stretching up a notch here. Google acquired Nix Software, the German company behind Snapseed, a popular iOS photo app. So as part of the announcement, this is big. And, Snapseed is not as popular as Instagram, but this is just another way of a tit for tat. And them trying to compete against each other. Hey, how many of you like air mattresses? And how many times you're out camping, you wish you, instead of laying on the ground, you had an air mattress? Well, they've got ones now. It's called the Aerobed Pack Mat. It basically delivers in a tube, costs $97. Pretty slick deal. And it looks like it will travel well. So if you're looking for a new camping type of mattress, this might be the thing. If you don't want to rough it, actually, let me bring this up and show this to you. Found this over on ogizmo.com. And let me bring this up for you. It loads here. It's called the Aerobed Pack Mat Sleep System. It's pretty practical. Looks like it packs up nice so that you can, not deal with putting it in a box or something. But the price is not bad either. It's $97. Hey, for those of you that are bikers out there, have you ever crashed on a back road and needed an ambulance? Well, there's a helmet sensor device that calls for help when you crash. And basically, once you wipe out, you've got a certain amount of time to respond to the app before it calls 911. It's roughly $200. Isn't cheap, but if you are an avid cyclist and you're out cycling alone a lot on remote roads, this is probably worth its money here. You know, I've been in some sticky situations before where I wish I'd have been somewhere close to having someone call an ambulance for me. So I understand completely. All right. Hey, last article for tonight. And I know that we're long already because of the show 800 commentary at the beginning of the show. But Asus is basically saying that they're going to have Windows 8 tablets starting at $599 and above. They've announced some pricing. So that is what you got to look forward to. We'll see where the Microsoft product comes in. I'm sure it's going to be higher than that. But at least we got a little bit of feel of where we're going. All right, let me go ahead and play. I got a couple of voicemails to play. One of these is kind of hard to hear, so I'll go ahead and play both of them back to back, and then we'll go into email.
Hey, Todd. This is Jose Alvarez from the great Golden State of California.
Hey, Jose.
I'm MIP Pro Dirty Dirty in the chat room. So you can put a voice to that chat name.
Cool.
Anyways, hey Todd, congratulations on your 800 show of TNC. I've been listening to your show since a little bit before 400. You know, I've been listening to your show like more than halfway. So, you know, I'm really glad that you at the 800 mark and everything. And I kind of now kind of consider myself part of the family and everything, you know. So anyways, keep up the good job and everything. Love the show. Bye, lady.
Thanks, Jose. Appreciate it.
Hey, Todd. This is Rob S. in Pittsburgh. Just wanted to say congrats on show number 800. I've only been listening for the last 650.
Beautiful.
But I also wanted to say, you know, thanks for the offer for relating to GoDaddy. But GoDaddy actually sent a 1 month credit on the hosting already. And I was one, it actually didn't affect, because like you, I was using name servers that were not all under that domaincontrol.com. And what I'd suggest is maybe in an upcoming show, reiterate how you did that. You know, if somebody goes to whois.goDaddy.com and looks up their domain, just make sure that all of your name servers are not under the same domain name, like domaincontrol.com. And that way you've got a secondary name server. So, maybe you can suggest some places folks can get alternative name server services. Like, I think there's one called FreeDNS, but that's from another registrar. And maybe ZoneEdit, I think, is another one that's pretty cheap. So I'm sure you could help folks survive an outage similar to that in the future. All right. Hey, congrats again, and thanks. Bye.
Hey, Rob, thanks for the call. And I know, actually, you're in the chat room right now. So thanks for the call. And we'll go into how I stayed online and talk about, being able to use a secondary DNS to protect yourself. Let me go ahead and load up. I got a few emails here tonight, I believe. Let me look here. What is today? Today's the 17th. And our last show was in Texas on the 13th. So let's see what time those came in. Okay, so I've got an email here from Jeff. He says, Meg Whitman says HP has to offer smartphone. HP's big bet on the smartphone world when it purchased Palm, but the company fell flat on its face and WebOS failed. So I got a link there on some comments that Meg made on basically wanting to recover the HP smartphone. Got a number of articles here that came in from Richard. He sent me one on a Dutch court ruling links to photos copyright. So I'll have that up in the show notes. He sent me one basically talking about AT&T Galaxy Note 2 Lumia 920 release date on October 21st. Talks about Samsung kidnapping buyer to copy iPhone 5 tech in the new Conan video. That's kind of funny. And the last article I got from Richard was Apple offers multiple lightning cable adapters. Article that was over on Ars Tech. So I have all those up, Richard. Thanks for those four. Those are good ones. I'll have those up in the listener portion of the show notes here as well. From JP, JP said, hey, Todd, eBay arbitration, no class action opt-out. So basically is a thread that's going on over on eBay on arbitration. So I have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. One thing, I got an email here from Karen. She says, hey, Todd, thanks for providing content that is informative, enlightening, and off the beaten track. I've been listening for more than a year now to several podcasts on my two-hour commute. I no longer have use for a car radio format, which is a tease. Four commercial tease, six commercials, etc. So, yeah, I know you guys get loaded up. If you're listening to a car radio, you get hammered with lots of ads. I hope that our one or two ads on a one-and-a-half hour and 15-minute program is not too much. But Karen, thanks for being one of our Lady Ohanas. And we got quite a few ladies that are listening to the show now. They come out in email from time to time, and I'd like to hear from the ladies a lot more as well. So definitely email the show here, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, got an email from Frank. He said, hey, Todd, quite simple. Computers are stuff run by people. Stuff breaks. People make mistakes. Aside from this incident, and this is reference to GoDaddy, aside from this incident, which lasted, fewer than 3 hours, my experience with GoDaddy has been wholly positive. The three or four times I've needed to contact support, support has been prompt, courteous, accurate, and effective. And thanks for that, Frank. I do appreciate it. And, you know, and be honest with you, I've went 8-9 years without any issue with GoDaddy. I've had personal server issues that I caused. Deleting a file here or there, or putting something or misconfiguring a configuration file. And that's how stuff normally breaks. But you're right. You know, they've done a great job and they've kept stuff online. And that's why I continue to support them here as a sponsor of this show. And I'm glad they sent out those 1 month coupons. Basically, you get a month of service. And I think that was, you don't see a lot of companies giving a whole month. That was huge. I got a month for every one of my hosting accounts. So, you know, I've got a bunch of shared hosting accounts that I have. And, you know, that's big. It adds up. It really, really does. So I'm glad they did that. And I got a couple emails from some folks taking me up on the offer, and honored that and basically took care of them. So, you know, it's all about taking care of the Ohana here. So that's the main thing. Well, we're way long. I hope you've enjoyed the show today. It's been my pleasure to bring you show 800. It's just another show, but I hope you enjoyed the commentary at the very beginning of the show. And we're going to have a lot of fun as we walk forward here in the future. And of course, I'll be coming to you live from a new location for a couple of shows here in a couple of days. But everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha and sayonara.